Well, it is a joy and a privilege to be with you this morning. I invite you to turn in your Bibles to Psalm 139. As we read verses 1 through 12 and 23 and 24. Hear now the word of the Lord. O Lord, you have searched me and known me. You know when I sit down and when I rise up. You discern my thoughts from far away. You search out my path and my lying down, and are acquainted with all my ways. Even before a word is on your tongue, on my tongue, O Lord, you know it completely. You hem me in, behind and before, and lay your hand upon me. Such knowledge is too wonderful for me. It is so high that I cannot attain it. Where can I go from your spirit, or where can I flee from your presence? If I ascend to heaven, you are there. If I make my bed in Sheol, you are there. If I take the wings of the morning and settle at the farthest limits of the sea, even there, your hand shall lead me, and your right hand shall hold me fast. If I say, surely the darkness shall cover me, and the light around me become night, even the darkness is not dark to you. The night is as bright as the day. For darkness is as light to you. Search me, O God, and know my heart. Test me and know my thoughts. See if there is any wicked way in me, and lead me in the way everlasting. The word of God for the people of God. Thanks be to God. Let us pray. Gracious God, we are gathered here today to hear a word from you, to sense your presence, and to take what you say to us out into the world and live it. May your words be my words, and my words your words. In Jesus' name, we all say, amen. Well, I love this mug. This is a good mug. And as an effective sermon illustration, it's also a sneaky way for me to get coffee up here in the lectern. This is my Duck Donuts mug. And, you know, I have memories with this mug. You know what I mean? Like, we go back, me and this mug. We got this mug on the Outer Banks. It even says so right there on the label. Outer Banks, North Carolina. We were on the beach, and we heard about this donut place that you had to go to where they make the donuts right in front of you. And I had a maple bacon donut hot off the press. I mean, and then I had some coffee in this here mug. I know this mug. This mug knows me. I love it. But it is just a mug. I mean, how far can my relationship with this mug really go? See, this passage in the book of Psalms is a prayer. And prayer essentially is communication. The root of that is communion, to come together with God. And what I want to point out to you is that inherent in any psalm, but especially in this one, is a relationship. A relationship that goes beyond one with an object, but one with the subject. It says here, I want you to listen for the language in here, for the I's and the you's. You know when I sit down. Oh, Lord, you have searched me and known me. You know when I rise up. You discern my thoughts. Where can I go from you? If I go to heaven, you are there. If I go to the ends of the earth, you are there. Unlike this mug, God is a you, not an it. I think so often, especially for us theological types, we really like to dissect God and study God and try and get to know what God is. And I think sometimes we forget that we're supposed to be studying and getting to know who God is. Martin Buber, the great Jewish philosopher and theologian, talks about this extensively in his book, I and Thou. And what he says is that an I, it signifies the world of experience. When we see a bunch of its, then that means those are objects that we are interacting with. That is the world of that we can interact with and grasp and hold and manipulate. But I, you, or I and thou establishes the world of relationship. One where God can be known, but perhaps not fully grasped or manipulated or made to do whatever it is we want God to do. This I in you shows us that God is inherently relational. God is inherently relational. God wants to be in relationship with us. God as a you knows us intimately and personally, more deeply than we know ourselves, as is evidenced in this psalm. Lord, you have searched me and known me. You know when I sit down and when I rise up. You discern my thoughts from far away and are acquainted with all my ways. To know. What does it mean to know? I know about Michael Jordan, but do I know Michael Jordan? Unfortunately not. Or better yet, Dirk Nowitzki, right? Man, what a great man. But I know a lot about Dirk Nowitzki, but I don't know Dirk. He's missing out, man. To know, this word in the Old Testament has a rich heritage. To know can be translated in so many different ways, and it can mean so many different things, and the English language just doesn't quite grasp all that. It is an intimate, deep knowing. To know often refers to the marriage relationship, where you know one another. God knows us. The other thing about this psalm is that God is always present if we will simply look. God truly is Emmanuel, God with us. And this is displayed most clearly in Christ, that God is with us. That God experiences what we experiences, knows the pains that we feel, feels the joys that we feel. This passage tells us a lot about God, tells us a lot about that relationship that we can have with God, this I and you relationship, where God is subject, not object. Another great theologian, Karl Barth, used to refer to God as holy other. God is not something that can be totally grasped, and that's what is what is beautifully displayed in this psalm here is this transcendent quality of God, but yet a God that can be so close to us, so imminent, so able to be known. What else does this passage tell us? This passage tells us a lot about ourselves as humans. This use of the I and the you tells me that we are designed for relationship. That we are at our core designed to be in relationship not only with one another, but with God. God is love. And we can love God. God wants us to be in relationship with God. We are not all a bunch of disparate its. Each one of us is a you that has the imprint of God deep within us, if we will but look. What's fascinating about this psalm is, despite this, the psalmist feeling this closeness, the greatness of God, as well as this closeness of God, it seems that the psalmist can also be somewhat overwhelmed by this. Such knowledge is too wonderful for me. It is so high that I cannot attain it. And it even gets to the point where the psalmist isn't quite sure that this is a good thing. Where can I go from your spirit? Or where can I flee from your presence? Any Jonahs in the room, maybe? I don't know. Where can I flee from your presence? Even if I wanted to get away from God, I can't. God is always with us because God wants to be in relationship with us. And I think what this question here, where can I flee from your presence, what it represents to me is an inability or a lack of wanting to be vulnerable. I think we as humans often feel this with each other. We have this kind of desire to always make sure that we're protecting ourselves, that we're hemming ourselves in. But what this says is that God hems us in. And if we will let God love us, then that means we must be vulnerable. God's presence takes on this overwhelming quality. And I think as humans, especially for me at least, I want to flee these notions of being weak. Because to be in a relationship with God means I must be weak so that God must be strong. What exactly is this passage calling us to? I have to tell you, I really struggled with this passage a lot this week. It has a lot of overtones theologically that I really had to wrestle with. These notions of God's omnipotence or God's omniscience don't always mesh with my understanding of God and allowing us to have free will. And I wrestled with this text. One of the things that really confounded me was this question. This passage begins with this affirmation that God has searched me and known me, right? And then at the end, it comes back and asks God to search me and know my heart. I mean, and this bothered me. Why would this start with an affirmation that God already searches us and knows us, but then end with this question of, please search me and know me? This doesn't make a lot of sense. And I finally came to a conclusion that what this is trying to do is show that the psalmist is putting themselves in a position, in a posture of vulnerability. When we say, "Search me, O God," we are asking God to look inside of us, and we are letting God roam in us, as Mike so often says. I kind of liken this to when you go to the airport and you're going through the security line, and you have to be searched, or you have to, you know, go through security and make sure that you're not carrying anything, you know, illegal. And so what do you have to do? You have to take your shoes off. You have to take your belt off. You have to empty your pockets. You have to take your wristbands off, your watches, your earrings, you know, any piece of extraneous material. You have to take it all off. You have to have it all stripped away for them to be able to search you. That puts us in a position of vulnerability. When I'm watching my wallet sit there in a bin and it's going down the line, and I've got my shoes and I've got my watch, my fossil watch that my wife bought for me on my birthday, and I'm watching that go down the line, then I'm kind of like, well, there's my stuff. I'm kind of letting my stuff go. And it puts me in a vulnerable position where God does, I think, the same thing when we simply ask God to search us. God strips away all the unnecessary stuff so that we can be real with God. And I will tell you, this world and this society is looking for people who are real, who are authentic in their relationships with God. I think we are tired as a generation of a Christianity that is full of people that are disingenuous. God is calling us to real relationship, where God can search every inch of us and strip away all the unnecessary stuff. We, as people, so often grasp for the it's rather than longing for the you. We're so tied up in our stuff that we can't get past it. But God is calling us to a real relationship where we are vulnerable, where God strips it away so that we can truly be an I in the presence of God's you. See, as my spiritual director, Ben Marshall, tells me all the time, we must learn to let God love us. And what a difficult task this is, because that means we have to love ourselves and be comfortable with who we are. I want to read you this psalm again in my own words, because I took this and I made it my own prayer. Some of the themes are still similar, but I hope what you see in this is this idea of an authentic, real relationship with God. Hear now my prayer. O God, you search me and know me better than I know myself. You are all around me. With every breath, I inhale your presence. If only I would realize that you are there. You are very near me, and yet you can be seen among the stars. You encompass this expanding universe, and yet your presence can be reflected in the tiny atom. You, O God, are hope. You are peace. You are joy. You are love. It is hard for me to imagine all that you are, Lord. I am in awe of you and wonder at your desire to be with me. No matter what I go through, you are with me. No No matter where I go, even if it seems God-forsaken, you are there. No matter whose eyes meet mine, if I look deeper, your imprint is there. I hope in you. I am at peace with you. I feel joy because of you. I am loved by you. Your spirit, O God, has hovered over me since the moment I became me. You have laughed with me, cried with me, walked with me, run with me, fallen with me, and grown with me. I haven't always paid attention to your presence, but looking back, I can see that you have been there. I am full of imperfections, but you give me the grace I need each morning. Your hope encourages. Your peace is perfect. Your joy delights. Your love is life. God, you are my creator, redeemer, and sustainer. Never stop searching me to know my heart. Align my will with yours and continually transform my desires by your grace. Lead me on this journey and carry me when I don't have the strength to stand. Let me be your hands and feet in a broken world, O Christ, by the power of your Holy Spirit, so that I might give your hope, give your peace, give your joy, and give your love. Amen.